Good morning, New Hope. Hey, I got an email from our president, the president of our denomination, Reverend Glenn Burris, and he addressed, I guess, all the churches, and he said this: I hope you will join me in praying for the volatile place our nation is in. It's fracturing at the seams. Violence has become a mainstay, and hate rules in many circles. And this is after those officers in Dallas got shot. And when I heard that, my heart sank because, you know, we have Lieutenant Brisky, who is an officer, who is a very close friend, a member of our church. And I know a lot of officers. And yesterday, when we were doing the Convoy of Hope, there was a whole bunch of them, some on bicycles, some patrolling around in the parking lot, some on foot. And I got to talk with them, and I got to thank each and everyone for what they do. So he listed some things that we could pray about. He said, the enemy of our soul lurks to pit us against each other instead against the kingdom of darkness. So we need action, not just promises. The church must speak up. This is not a time to be silent. We need to bring healing, not hurt. Pray against injustice, that God would give us wisdom and strategy to do our part to see injustice cease. He said, pray with us. Pray that polarization in our nation would cease and that unity would prevail. Pray that the church will rise in love and in ministry of reconciliation we have been given. Lead the way in healing our communities. Pray against injustice that God would give us wisdom and strategy to do our part to see justice cease, to see injustice cease, and to right the wrongs being done in our nation. In the midst of tragedies, complexities, and confusion, pray that people would find healing and hope in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, for these things that we have just read, we pray for. We pray that unity would prevail in our nation. We pray that peace would win out. We pray that the church would rise up and be the hands, the heart, the voice of Jesus. We pray that God would give us wisdom to let us know what we need to do and how we need to do it. And we pray for those lives who was lost this past week. We pray for their families, and we pray that there would be no retaliation, but that the Prince of Peace would prevail. We pray that throughout all this, our nation will rise up in unity, that people will be drawn closer to you, and that in all this, there would be hope and that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you see officers around, let them know you appreciate them. Let them and thank them too. I mean, it goes a long way. As, you know, even when I go to the airport and I stand in the TSA line, and if you ever thank them for asking you for your ID and making you take off your shoes, and you try to thank them and watch their expression. It's like maybe 1 in 100 persons does that, or maybe less. They look at you with this look, it's like, are you crazy? Nobody thanks me. They yell at me. But thank them and tell them how much you appreciate them. Watch their face, their expression, their countenance. Man, it changes. Sometimes they think like, are you for real? And I tell them, yeah, I know everybody gives you heat for asking for the ID, but I thank you because I don't want to go in the air and blow up. Would you? And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect it. And so are the officers. They're trying to protect us. So, you know, it's the news. They only show you the bad stuff, yeah? I mean, they got to show the good stuff that these guys do. Amen? Yeah, so, hey, John, thank you. Thank you so much. I knew you before you was an officer, and I knew you now, and you're still the same awesome guy who loves to serve. Thank you so much. Wow, man, this weekend has been like just so many things to do, so many things going on. And yesterday, man, these guys, they were awesome. They were out there in the rain in the morning, yeah, and then in the hot sun in the afternoon. And they were, you know, I had to leave for a little while because I had to do the burial for Uncle Yuki. And when I left, the parking lot was fairly empty. And in an hour, that place was full. And these parking lot guys were working. And, you know, being in a parking lot brings back memories of when I was asked to do the parking lot. And it was so much fun giving everybody the double shaka and aloha and welcome. It was so much fun out there. Look, running around, we didn't have radio, so we were running around looking for empty stalls. And then we'd be lifting up a finger saying, there's a stall here. But it was so much fun serving the Lord, especially when you serve with our guys, because we have fun together. Amen? Wow, well, this morning, you know, we're going to talk about consecration. And just like, Lord, I just talked about this. You ever had arguments with God? It's like, God, I just talked about this in November. And then, well, he said, well, you got to do more because I want to, you know, I want the people to learn more. Maybe he was just talking to me. I'm not too sure. But, you know, I just talked about this. Maybe he's telling me I got to do a more complete job. Or maybe I wasn't ready to hear it all. So, again, and, you know, when we talk about consecration, like, oh, I really don't like big words. You know, those big words fly right over my head. Like, what are you talking about? You know, and that my dictionary.com, man, thank God. Man, imagine if I had to use those big red Merriam-Webster dictionaries to look up each word. I'd still be writing this message. I'd be D, A, B, C, D. Oh, there it is. And man, the computer can be so helpful in these times. You know, consecration, just so that we know, you know, the big word is the setting apart of people, things, times, places as sacred for God to use. See, consecration is the requirement of a holy God. He wants, it's like, kid, this is what you need to do. In Romans 6, 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Oh, when Paul used that term, instruments of righteousness, he uses that word so that we can refer to like as a tool or a weapon. You know, our skills, our capabilities, our bodies can serve many purposes, good or bad. In sin, every part of our body becomes vulnerable. In Christ, every part can be an instrument for service. It is the one whom we offer our service that makes the difference. Okay? Let me say that. It is the one whom we offer our service that makes the difference. See, we can be like lasers that burn holes in steel plates, or to do delicate cataract surgery. Will you give yourself completely to God, asking Him to put you to good use for His glory? You know, my kitchen is my place because I love to cook. I love to cook because I love to eat. I mean, eating is like one of my favorite things to do. I don't know about you, but why do you think I come to church? So I can eat. Yeah, no, I come for the spiritual food too. But so in my kitchen, I have certain utensils to do certain things. I have certain knives to debone chicken, because I ain't going to use my big chopping knife to debone chicken. That would be loose fingers. You know, I have certain pots, not pot, no, pots. Pots and pans to do certain things. You know, you're not going to see me make scrambled eggs in my rice cooker, right? That's crazy. And of course, some people might, you know, if you was in college in the dorm, you might try to do that because you'd be desperate. You know, I have certain things set apart for certain uses. My truck is set apart because it does certain things. You know, Sunday after you guys finish eat, I may take the rubbish. Or even James now. Thank you, James. He's been helping me take the rubbish. Man, taking the rubbish keeps me right there being humble. And last week when James went and threw all the rubbish in my truck, he said, I'm just helping you to be humble. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because I just finished reading this book about being entitled, yeah? And sometimes, you know, you don't think you are entitled. And I never had that thought until one day I went to do the funeral and somebody was parked in the clergy parking stall. Like, wow, that's my parking. Then I went, the Lord went, bang, oh, entitlement, huh? You don't have issues. So I parked way outside. But yeah, you know, my truck, I do that. And my tools, you know, I have a big, heavy skill saw that I use to cut rough wood. And then I have this nice $700 saw that I use to cut good wood. You know, they're set apart. You know, I don't dare take that $700 saw and go cut 2x4s. And if any of you tried to do that, I'd have to bite my tongue. I probably would just have grace and go, But they're set apart for certain things. Our communion trays, set apart. What? For communion. You don't go see me putting that on the stove and cooking stuff inside there, because that's not what it's for. On the matter of consecration of things, you know, like in our office, I have this computer that has our records on it, our church finances, the tithes and offering, and that computer never goes online. It just stays offline, and it does the finances of the church and what you give. That's all. It's just said, you know, I don't want it to go online. I don't want it to get contaminated with viruses, or I don't want it to get hacked. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to get hacked because there's all of our records in there. But it's set apart. I'm sorry, solely. And when I did that, because this is our second computer in 8 years. We had one from a long time ago. And, oh, when your computer don't go online, the thing lasts a long time, man. It really is like, I guess, being on quarantine, you know, locked up. You don't get any germs. And so, you know, because I really want to protect our stuff, I set this one laptop just for that, because I don't want anything getting to it. And just as I have that one for our finances, I have one that I do my studies, because, man, I hate to get all my messages in and poof, and it disappears because something got into my computer. You know, there are times that I set apart for God. I set some time, like Sunday mornings, Wednesdays, men's ministries, times that I meet with men and I do devotions. Those times are set, and those times are set apart for God. Unless I am not here on the island, then I let people know. In Leviticus 20, it says, verse 7, you shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. That's the command from the God. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, we look at that, and if we go back a little bit, we look at the context that this is written in, and we read that they're talking about that we should not go to see mediums or spiritists. I mean, that would be like those fortune tellers and palm readers today, to find out the future, because God gives us everything we need to know in the scriptures. And because these mediums were either false or they were linked to evil, so God said, no, set yourselves apart. So Moses tells us that instead, consecrate ourselves for God's use and not let us be used by the evil one. If we go back in Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you should not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm the earth. You know, there is more to this than, you know, eating right. These verses provide like a key to understanding these regulations that they had. And God wanted us, his people, to be holy. He wanted us to be set apart. He knew that we had two options: to be separate and holy, or to compromise with the pagan people and become corrupt. That's why he called his people out of Egypt and set them apart as a unique nation, dedicated to worshiping him alone and leading moral lives. Amen? See, number one, we are commanded to consecrate ourselves. Romans 12:1. Is that on your bulletin? Would you read that with me? Romans 12:1. Ready, go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice was something set apart for God by putting it on the altar. And once it was put there, it no longer belonged to the one who put it there, but it belonged to God. See, here, God wants us to offer ourselves, okay? Not animals. So don't bring me your pets, your pet goats and your pet sheep. Yeah? He wants to offer us, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. You know, what does that mean? Daily laying aside our own desires to follow him, putting all of our energy and resources at his disposal, trusting him to guide us. We do this out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. Okay, we shouldn't be allowing our bodies to be used for good on Sunday and then evil the rest of the week. Right now, I tell you, I am working on consecrating my speech. You know, you guys love me so much, but I tell you about my driving issues. So somebody, some smart person bought me this cup. Says, no matter how many people cut me off in traffic, I know that I am blessed. you know that, because when I'm in traffic, and you ask my wife, every time I'm driving and she's with me, somebody cuts me off or drives really slow, and she laughs and says, God is testing you. And if you was to ride with me, you would hear, I am far from perfect. And I get mad for one thing. And I told this to her. I told this to her because when I'm driving, I'm looking for the guys who run the red light, the guys who drive slow, the guys who go this way when the arrow is pointing that way. I look for that, so I see it and I get mad. So I told her, well, I need to look for the good things. And then she goes, yeah, it's easier said than done. And it's like, oh, I need to train myself. Hey, look at these guys. They stopped at the red light. Yeah, good job. But instead, man, I tell you, at one traffic light, I see like 5 cars run red lights in different directions. And I'm like, whoa, where's John? Shoot, give me one blue light and one ticket pad, man. But I gotta consecrate my speech. Because sometimes I preach the word of God on Sundays, hallelujah. I drive out of here and like, ooh, you are beep. No, I don't swear. I don't swear. I just call them dummies or little bit, knuckle, hey. I don't call them donkeys. But I just let you know I am human. Pray for me. So we cannot just be really good on Sundays, use our bodies, our mouth for hallelujah, God bless you, and then the rest of the week, evil. And, as I write this and I read this, it's for me just as well as for everybody else. Man, because we got to set our hearts. We got to consecrate our hearts because what's in our hearts comes out. So sometimes I got to look. God still got to do surgery on me. He got to still cut away the pieces that is not honoring. Maybe we should ask God, or maybe we should, hey, God, you have permission to perform surgery on me, to cut away the junk and fill it with good. Amen? Amen? Number two, we are commanded to consecrate things. You shall also consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. You ever had somebody anoint you with oil? Beautiful aroma. Whoever, the Bible gives us the recipe to make that. But, man, it'd be crazy to try to use that oil to make scrambled eggs. That probably tastes really funky. I said funky. Okay? But it's set apart to do certain things. It was sacred. We set things apart. In Exodus, it says in Exodus 30:26, with it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony. We're talking about the anointing oil because it was set apart. And it was used for this. And the table and the utensils and the lampstand. See, these are things that they were anointed and they were set apart. And the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils and the laver and the stand. We set apart things to be holy. We use them. My computer is set apart to do certain things. What things do you have in your life that you can consecrate for God? Maybe it's your computer. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your home. Maybe you want to set apart your home so that we can have a Bible study there. Man, if you want to do that, you let me know. Because we will send leaders to your house and we will get people to come. And what they will be equipped, they will grow, and that'll be so great. What are you willing to set apart? An example might be this. Okay. My toothbrush. Okay? You will not find me scrubbing the toilet. I don't know if my wife does it when I'm not watching. I hope not. Or my daughter, because sometimes I see her scrubbing her car with a toothbrush, and I hope it's not this one. It is set apart for me. You ever had to share a toothbrush? Kind of gross, yeah? Hey, sometimes when you're camping and you're desperate. Sorry, we're family, right? Kind of nasty. But this is set apart for me and my mouth. Right? It's you. You're not going to use it, and you're not going to use it for anything else. And just like the things that you might want to need to set apart for God, maybe it's your iPad, maybe it's your computer. God calls us to consecrate, set things apart for the use for God. Number three, we should consecrate time. Yeah, look at Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. Even when you grumble, they give you one time. when Moses was in the wilderness and the people grumbled to him, oh, they got in trouble. But the difference between that, Moses, when he grumbled, he took his grumbling straight up. And I think that's so much better. You know, praying morning, noon, and night is certainly an excellent way to maintain priorities throughout the day. In Mark 1:35, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place to pray. He set apart some time. Matthew 14:23, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And it was evening, he was there alone. So you know, Jesus set apart time. He set apart time to pray. And how many of you, before you go to sleep, you set apart some time to pray? When you get up in the morning, you set apart some time to pray. During the week, you set apart time to do devotions. You know, we are to consecrate time. Jesus made time to spend with his Father. You are set apart for God's use. Somebody once said that, man, idle time is when the devil, you know, really gets a hold of you. And that's true. If you have nothing to do, you know, just be careful. You know, like you're killing time. Always carry a good book with you. Or if you have your iPad, always put something on there that's good for you to read. You know, we all need to set some time for God. And I challenge each one of you. Man, if you haven't started reading your Bible, follow along with us. Read along with us. Set some time. Say, God, I will give you this time every day to read your word. You know, you belong to God. Not no one else. God called you. God sanctified you. He cleaned you. He set you apart for his use, for his purpose, to do his will in this crooked and perverse generation. He called each and every one of you to do his will. He called you his workmanship. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. You know, Paul humbly calls himself a slave of Christ, an apostle, one who is sent. You know, you and I, we are called to do God's work. But sometimes we all stumble, but we choose to get up, dust ourselves off, repent, ask for forgiveness, come back, and serve. So we are all called to do certain things. And I pray that, you know, you would consecrate yourselves, some things that you need to, especially some time to do God's work. Like you guys, Sunday morning, you guys set this time. You guys consecrate this time for God. And if you want to set some more time, you can come an hour earlier at 8 o'clock. We have a Bible study we do up there. And then if you want to do on Wednesdays, we even get deeper into the Word. And we set these times apart so that God can pour into us, so that when we go out, we can pour out into others. Amen? That's how it works. And we set certain things, like your Bible, man, is set apart, consecrated to do God's work, to prepare you. But, you know, you set apart your Bible, but if it just sits on the shelf, it's just another book until you open it up, becomes alive, and it speaks to you. You see all these things right here? All these amps and stuff set apart, man. It's all for God's use on Sunday. That's all it does. And you could use this to swear out of and everything and cuss. But it's not. It's set apart to play worship music for the Lord. That's how we set things apart for God. And look at your lives and look at what you have. And look at what you look at your body, yourself, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your brain, your eyes. All those things. You know, but I think the biggest thing is we gotta say, you know what? God, here I am. Use me. How many of you be bold enough to say that? I said that like, I don't know how many years ago. Yeah, Pastor Alex, when he took me to Saddleback Church, I never know what I was doing. I hold up this sign and said, you know, whatever it takes. I was a young Christian, didn't know what I was getting into, and I held up that sign, and whatever it takes, shoot, it took a lot. Man, God had to get the hammer and chisel and nail me and take off all that junk. And I set apart little. I'm still learning how to do this. And I'm not there. I'm far from it. But a little at a time, God is working on me. Amen. I'd like to call the worship team up. You can put away your notes. I mean, I think the first thing that in setting things apart for God is just saying that, hey, God, I want to be part of your family. And that, to be part of his family, means to accept him as Lord and Savior. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd ask that you would all pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, would you hold up a hand? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, anybody out there, I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? All right. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that we would present our bodies to you as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable unto you, which is our spiritual service of worship. We give you permission, Lord, to work in our lives. We give you permission, Lord, to use us for your glory, to expand your kingdom, to reach the lost. We give you permission to equip us with the skill and the knowledge to preach the gospel from the mountaintops. We give you permission, Lord, to do surgery on us, to cut away the junk and fill it with good. Fill us with your spirit. Give us that boldness we need. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much.